legendary Humble and Fred Show, Canada's national morning show.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
The following episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Service Inspired Restaurant, PayTM, Spearhead Brewing Company, and our newest sponsor, Strain Print. Use cannabis better. And as always, we broadcast to the world from the center of Canada's universe, Toronto, nestled in the cozy bosom of the 5-hour energy performance zone. And now, two slightly disappointed men, Humble and Fred.
Well, you know, if it was our first time that something like this happened, it would be, I don't know, maybe disappointing. Now it's like, what would you call it? Just business as usual, really.
Yeah, but it doesn't change the fact that I sit here with a broken heart.
Here you sit brokenhearted,
yeah.
Paid a dime and only farted. That's right.
What?
Yeah, that's an actual thing.
You've never heard that?
You never heard that?
Never heard
it. Well, we grew up in an era of pay toilets.
Oh, I see.
We're going to need to get these re-recorded. We can't take them off, though.
Yeah.
But that's fine. Just send them a note.
Very European. Pay toilets.
Yeah, yes. There was a time in this country, in this land.
I'm hearing a buzz, too, now.
Oh, yeah, me too, actually.
Yeah. Oh, it's gone now.
Yeah, it's on microphone number 4. Sorry about that. Yeah, it's all right.
Oh, what a day. What a day.
Let me see. Is it work?
Your fault, Amanda. There
oh, no, it's fine. It's fixed.
Okay.
Hello? Is this thing on? How do you work this?
Is this on? So, obviously, you can tell that we're not on Funny 820. Now I got Jim Carr. He's going, did you restart the router? Dude, did we...
Everyone's offering...
Yeah, bud.
Advice.
You're going to get text-plained all day.
Yeah, we've been at it.
From all the peeps.
Yeah. Go ahead, talk.
Just a shame because, you know, I mean, I don't know what the numbers are, but there was a lot of people feeling good and happy for us, mm-hmm. anticipating today, and they were going to tune in, all excited for us.
Yeah.
And maybe for themselves.
Yeah.
And then just, you know, what, 20, 25 minutes before we were set to go to air, we had a technical breakdown. And we don't have to really get into it. Just the communication between here and Master Control just didn't work. And as Howard said, it's what buffers it is that we're not surprised. You know, I tried to do that. I tried to do that reverse psychology thing several times over the weekend. I thought, what if we go in there Monday morning and something doesn't work? And,
yeah.
And then I thought, if I keep thinking it, it probably won't happen, right?
Oops.
Nice try.
Like the old tie in the car. If you bring it, you don't need it.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I look at it this way.
That couldn't happen to us, could it?
Never.
What are the? I never once thought on the weekend, oh, what if it doesn't work? But as soon as it didn't work, I was like, I'm not surprised. Like, and by the way, for you people that are downloading the show today, as usual, it's going to be truncated.
Yeah.
Truncated.
It's going to be shortened because basically we usually start recording at 7 o'clock. It's 8 o'clock now, and we all have a lot of other stuff to do. Plus, the funny people are on their way to try and see if we can't fix the piece of hardware. Because it was kind of strange. Like, first our internet went down, and something about that did something to the computing equipment that speaks to their place, that connects us to them and them to us. Mm-hmm. And it's all gone to share.
All gone.
To share. But on the upside, you look very nice today in your whatever that is. It's a good color for you.
It's a smocky shirt.
It brings out the joy in your eyes.
I'm dressing for comfort. Oh. I wore very comfortable shoes. They're almost like Doc Martens, but more work appropriate.
Biggest disappointment is we were going to be on the Mike Boone podcast explaining the recent... You know, the last, maybe the last chapter, but the next chapter in the Humble and Fred story. And Mike's biked all the way over here to have a little chat and endorse us. And then we were going to go over to his home studio and, you know, make our way downstairs through all the kids' toys and the gardening equipment. And the
what's today's, what was the theme of today's show? Because we weren't going to go and rehash our careers again, were we? Good. No.
The next chapter. We're gonna
the next chapter.
Oh, the next chapter.
I actually had a full agenda.
Did you really? Oh.
Well, and you seem more disappointed than us, and we were about to broadcast all over Southern Ontario, for God's sake.
No, I knew there was a problem. I got my TuneIn app, and I was biking here, and I'm like, I'm going to listen to the boys live for the first time since
2005.
Right.
I know.
And I heard a stand-up, and it was like, that's Dave Barry. And I said, oh, there's big trouble in Little China.
Oh, yeah, we had all kinds of stuff ready. You know, we had like...
You're welcome to connect with Humble and Fred anytime at 833-H.
We had stuff ready, you know, you're...
Hold up! One and two and ready and play and...
You're we had a thing. To the legendary Humble and Fred Show, Canada's national morning show.
Yeah, they're all... I got to send him a note and say, buddy, you're not going to believe this, but there's so much overmodulation on his voice on these things. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable.
No.
Yeah. But, you know, philosophically.
Yes.
We've learned. This fella and I have done this together for 30 years. And every so often something will happen and we just go, oh, yeah, that's Humble and Fred luck.
This brings more attention to the launch. Like, I think this is going to make it
thank
more.
You,
tomorrow's going to be bigger as a result of this technical problem.
Thank you, Mike.
This is the kind of thinking that we need in our organization.
I'm available.
That's, I don't even know if that's positive thinking.
It's good thinking.
That's rational thinking.
No.
Very rational.
I'm telling you.
That's what happens.
Sometimes the best thing that happens to you is getting that cease and desist. It's having that technical problem. You take that lemon... You make lemonade.
Oh,
look at all the emails we'll get today. All the when is it going to happen? Oh. I'm waiting with bated breath.
Yeah, my phone. My
and
phone.
Then we'll say tomorrow, and then the place will catch fire.
Okay.
Oh, thanks.
Okay. Which would be the best thing
here.
That happened to you guys. That fire, that would be the best thing that would be all over the news.
Yeah.
CP24, live at Humble and Fred Studios. There's a fire. I'm telling you.
Funny you say that. And interesting you bring up fire. Because I don't know where it started, but and maybe you can explain how Twitter works a little bit to me. Because sometimes our Twitter feed, Humble Fred Radio, you know, I'll go there and you'll just see the notifications, and these are people interacting, you know, tweeting and replying. So I guess this was Saturday morning. I wake up and I just happen to have my phone there, looking at a couple things, and I see notifications on Twitter, and it's an interaction between Mike Stafford and one of our listeners, and then we were tagged Humble Fred Radio on it. And I just didn't know where the origin of it was, but the tweet from Stafford was, no, just kidding, Fred's all right, but the other guy can die in a fire.
Yeah. That sounds like Stafford.
When was that?
Like Saturday morning, and I said to Rachel, I said, you know, there was a time when I would have been like, fuck you, buddy.
And what?
He said
this
the other
was recent?
Yes, 2 days ago.
And then that too, though, I would extract that. That would be the testimonial I'd have on the front page of humbleandfredradio.com. Mike Stafford says,
who's
the
Mike
other guy can die in a fire.
He's a guy that we've known in radio.
Morning show
but
at 640.
You know what? That bugs the shit out of me. No, it really does. Because even if you said that about Mike, that would bug me. Because I like Mike and I have a long history with him. But that's just ridiculous.
Thank you.
No, it is.
But, okay. That's very nice.
It's a bit extreme.
It is a bit extreme.
I'd say.
Well, that's what I said to Rachel. I said, first of all, I was so, I'm going to say, proud of myself because rather than react in an angry, even hurt way, I was just kind of smiling. And she said, what's up? I go, there's a guy that I barely know anymore. I haven't seen him. When would I have seen him?
I don't even know.
20 years ago?
Yeah.
2003. Well, 2003, we left. So I haven't seen him since we left that building. So in 15 years, he still has enough hatred for me to wish I would die in a fire.
That's extreme.
So where did that come from?
Well, that's what I couldn't
figure out. You can easily
out.
On Twitter, you can click thread and find out, but I'm sure somebody's tagged you guys on a reply to him, and then that was his reply. So once you're tagged, it's going to show up in your stream.
My Twitter feed, by the way, you cannot look at it with children.
I saw that ejaculation. Yeah, I'm serious. I saw ejaculation.
I follow a lot of different people, right, Barger?
Oh, yeah.
But
anyway.
At
any given moment.
And I've been... Isn't that funny? And I it's just not fair.
But seriously. But he would say to you right away, he would say if he was here, that he knows that he has issues. Like, I think he'd own this, that this is on him. He knows he has issues. Come on, he fired you as his best man for no particularly good reason. That was a big flag.
What bothers...
He says, kidding, I love Fred. The other guy can die in a fire.
That's not a joke. That's not a... ha ha ha, I know he'll see this and that's funny.
No, it was Mike Stafford to at Lalonde 019. Like, the thing is, I didn't even look up the thread. I just saw it and went, aw.
If you click Lalonde, that one, it'll go on to its own self, and then you can see the entire
thread. Well, Lalonde has two followers.
So now, if you scroll up.
What do you mean? Where do I scroll? Here, show me, Mike. Because, oh, by the way, I'm
deeply disappointed because it's not something. Mike's, I think, your age. It's not very adult.
Okay, just what do you want to do there, bud?
And it's pretty severe.
It's a severe thing to say. That's why I thought it must be a joke. Because who would say that?
Meanwhile, I've been feeling really bad for him lately because
I don't see the original tweet. No,
I feel bad for him lately because that situation he's got sucked into now is just doing that morning show at that 6:40 with that girl. It's just like, my
Supriya Dwivedi.
It's not him. That's not what Mike does. Anyway.
So I saw that, and I appreciate you feeling bad for me, but I actually felt pretty good about it because literally I was like, you know, I was telling Rachel, and she said, it doesn't seem to be bugging you. I said, no, I'm actually, actually feel bad for him.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he walked in here, I'd barely recognize the guy.
And that's nothing you would ever say about anyone. I know that.
Well, no, that's true. But I certainly don't have enough anything about Mike Stafford to think that he should die in a fire.
Oh, and he just saw you, Mike, 4 days ago. You guys were hanging out. Yeah?
No.
Oh, 4 days ago you tweeted.
I was at... No, he did not show up at the TMLX2. He was not there.
Oh, okay.
But Luskies was there. But no,
Our listeners aren't quite as familiar with your jargon. Your what? Your TML what?
The Toronto Mike listener experience. But you did say on your show last episode that you were there. So
I was there. I was honored to
be
there.
I'm just trying to find the origin.
So Stafford is, he's got issues, and I quite like the guy. I'm conflicted here. I don't like how he treated Fred. I think he knows that he had issues he needs to deal with, and I'm shocked right now to hear he wants my friend Howard to
die in
fire. That is maybe he's trying to be funny.
By the way, that's a pretty brutal way to die. I was thinking about that, too. I was like, wow, that's like wishing somebody a lot of pain prior to death.
Maybe just smoke inhalation. You go for a nice little sleep.
And the
maybe
weird move there, he knows you
again,
might see that, right? Like, that's
well,
been tagged
on
that. So it's
I mean, does he? I don't know. Is he?
But he's replying to something.
He's replying to somebody. You know what, Howard? Some of this has been taken down because
it's been deleted.
Yeah, everything's been deleted except for him saying the other guy can die.
That's why you can't see the rest.
And however it... I mean, I'm not saying... I'm sure I've said some things. I've said some things on the show around the time that he was mistreating you. I may have said some.
No. And I think there was the other incident. Mike had him on his show, and then we were And I told you that day.
I sent you the clip. Actually, you never played it. But I mean, about why did he fire his best man?
That's right.
Kick
and
out
then
his name?
I was talking about it on our show, and we played the clip, and then you started playing sound effects like macaque. And I told you probably shouldn't have done that.
I probably shouldn't.
No, you shouldn't have because it was, you know, well, you shouldn't have. But anyway, it's not that big a deal. We're having fun here, and it wasn't that big a deal. In retrospect, maybe not, but I don't think that's enough for somebody to want another person to die in a fire.
What's interesting, though, is that prior to the fire, he says, kidding.
Yeah, kidding.
I love Fred. So he slammed the show for sure in this thread.
Yeah, there was some slam against the show because he had to go, kidding, I love Fred.
The other guy can die in a fire. But unfortunately, that's the only thing that lives of that.
I would love to see that because I'll tell you, it better not be a slam against the show because I'll tell you what's going on 6:40 right now in the mornings.
All right, well, listen, I didn't want
to
get into an unpleasant place. I appreciate you sticking up for me. I love you. You're my brother.
Yeah.
And I don't wish anyone dies in a fire. You know what he should die of? Oh, wow. Listen, you know, what are we doing? We're making lemonade. We got Mike Boone.
Yeah.
Toronto's longtime blogging at the emissary of hope, I say. I finally got to make a speech with his wife and Mike present and didn't say anything to offend the Filipinos.
You finally got to?
Yeah, I went over to
his... You got a redo?
The Toronto Mike listener experience. Thursday night I dropped by and I said...
Wednesday night.
Huh?
Wednesday.
Okay. I dropped by. and said, I just spoke for a second or two, and I said nice things, I think, and I got to, you know, make up for the...
You got a mulligan.
Whatever I said at the wedding.
Is that free beer there?
Oh, your first beer is free.
Your first beer is
free.
So
they buy you the first 12-ounce fresh craft beer, yeah.
Is it that nice?
Yeah.
But did I get through the speech without offending Monica?
Yeah, absolutely. No, it was good to see you. I was so happy to see you there. Thanks for coming to that. That was meant a lot to me. Thanks so much. Oh, and I only mentioned it was Wednesday in case somebody's listening and thinks, oh, did I miss something on Thursday?
No, that's right.
How many of those have you had now? Two?
Two, yeah.
Maybe I'll come to the fifth or sixth.
You know David Schultz from the Globe and Mail?
Yes.
So he did 10 minutes of stand-up. But then Gare Joyce from Sportsnet did like 16 minutes. And for what it's worth, if anyone wants to hear the stand-up, I actually put it into the most recent episode of Toronto Mike.
I saw a little bit. So those guys aren't really stand-ups?
They're great sports writers.
Right.
You know, you're an upfront guy and very...
Blunt?
Blunt.
Sometimes, yeah.
And I'll tell you.
I've been told that.
I watched some of that. Did not transfer well, to be honest with you.
Like, it wasn't funny?
When I watched the thing, I'm thinking, ooh, yeah.
Well, there's sports
writers.
It's
the type of thing. I know, but it's the type of thing you might see live and get a kick out of it and think, oh, that's neat.
Funny you say that. I was there live.
Yeah.
And I thought that guy, it's funny. I knew he wasn't a stand-up, but I think for a guy who doesn't do stand-up, he did a nice.
Which guy?
The Gare Joyce guy.
I thought definitely Gare Joyce is a level above David.
I didn't see David.
Yeah, so David... But David just took this on to kind of come over some personal stuff in his life.
Good for him.
Yeah. And again, this is them leaving their comfort zone, and they were previous guests who volunteered, so I didn't hire them as stand-ups.
Oh, good.
You know. No, it was great.
And we had great live music, and I actually... Hump, I think you mentioned this on the show, but I actually offered you the headliner on this, so they could open up and you could do 10 minutes and you were out of the game.
Well,
so.
No, I just hadn't been on stage in a few months.
How many people were there?
80 plus.
So how do they have the 80 people's attention while they were up doing their thing?
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah. I mean, on the side, there's some people having some chats or something. But remember, this is a three-hour event, and they did 10 minutes each.
Yeah, and I saw the end of Gare Joyce's stuff, and I thought, you know, for a guy that's clearly an amateur, he did nicely.
Right. Yeah, exactly. These are really hardcore amateurs because they are sports writers, and I think it's kind of neat when someone leaves their comfort zone and does something completely like that. It'd be sort of like if Fred started stand-up.
No, I'm not questioning that. I'm just saying it. All that is great, but then putting it on video, you're watching it, you think, oh, geez, these guys aren't pros. So that's
all. Oh, yeah, no, definitely not pros.
Listen,
I didn't pay them, that's for sure.
I'm certainly not. They're nice guys, but they're not going to be part of my Living with Gout fundraiser, which I'm thinking. Which I'm...
Headlined by Mike Stafford.
Yes. Living with Gout.
People would pay to see that.
I was bugging Rachel all weekend. I said, listen, this is great, but I'm putting together my Living with Gout. Everything is Living with Gout now. She's funny because she arrived... I can't remember what day she came over. I guess it was Saturday. She came with like a whole thing of, I've done gout research. Here are the foods you can't eat.
Oh, my God.
Here's
she had a file.
Oh, yeah. She had the gout file.
She's so great.
I got
great.
The beet juice now.
Things to thumb through.
Yes.
And, hey, is that thing happening on Friday, that event at her work? And can I go?
No, you can't go. It is happening. No. It's, listen.
What do you mean?
Everyone's trying to go.
Okay. Starbucks. I'll get tickets through Starbucks.
It's packed up.
Only the beautiful people can.
Not even that. She it's just Are you talking about the private party or the opening?
The opening.
The opening is for Saturday and Sunday.
No. The party on Friday. Starbucks offered me tickets,
then
and
you
I
should
said,
go.
I said, hang on to them. I'll probably get them.
Get them
through.
From Starbucks because Rachel's got.
Okay.
It took me forever. I got Spencer on the guest list, but there's no more tickets.
Oh, okay.
It's
going
to be a shit show.
I'll
anyway.
Talk to Dale then.
But. So Rachel's museum opens this weekend, the Museum of Contemporary Art in Toronto reopens, and it's crazy, the mm-hmm. just the details and things that she's got to do. And anyway, I'm going to go on Sunday just to kind of mosey around with the kids.
You're not going Friday though?
No.
Oh.
Well, because she's going to be busy. There's going to be 1,000 people there. And she said, we're not going to have a chance
fun
to hang
party
out.
Though.
I don't party.
Fun party.
Fuck that. I'm going to a wedding. By the way,
oh, was that wedding?
Blew her mind. What I said. I told her, you told me how much I had to spend. She's like, what?
That's the going rate. That's the rate, man.
I'm just doing, you know what I'm doing? I'm doing $150 a person. Sorry.
That's fine. That's still acceptable. You're within the decade. Yeah, that's still acceptable.
$300.
But I still think you do the gift cards. I think gift cards are great.
Like Surcorp gift cards?
No, you can't do the gift cards. I heard this bit. You can't do this because they're going to clue in 10 seconds that you got it for free.
Who cares?
And then they're going to think you're a cheap bastard.
Not only that.
Do buns bits.
You can't do gift cards.
Cash. Cash rules. Just give them cash.
Yeah, can we run this through the company somehow?
No. Anything else.
Quickly you said no.
Anything else short of cash, I know the recipients at a wedding go, they would rather have cash. Because they can turn cash into anything.
Well, they got to pay for the event.
Yeah. What about a cash gift card hybrid?
No.
No, you got to pick a lane.
All right.
Listen, if I was getting married again tomorrow, I'd want cash.
All right.
Very simple.
I like gift cards.
But can't we just kind of slide
for
it somehow?
To eat.
Oh.
Hold on a second. Can we just slide an expense here or there around? Just swing it in somehow. Turn it over. So, of course, it's going to be a little bit of a different podcast because we're not going to break. We're just going to do an hour. We want to thank our sponsors, FYI Music News, of course, Service Inspired Restaurant. That's the gift cards. And I'm going to be hosting the kickoff to their 3-day annual conference tonight. Lots of service-inspired restaurant people.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be great.
What do you do exactly?
Well, I don't do Gary Joyce's act. You know. I do a little bit
of... You are the headliner, Howard. You turn me down.
What am I going to do? I'm going to do about 15 minutes off the top, and then sit down, have dinner, and then after everyone's served food, there's a night of recognizing different people in the organization, and I will introduce them, and then they will accept their awards. Then... they have an illusionist. They got an illusionist.
That's who follows you?
Yes.
Oh, that's
so
good.
But the problem is I got to stay to the end of the illusionist because then we give out the Restaurant of the Year award. So I can't
they pick an actual location?
Yeah.
And all the restaurants? Not just Jack Astor's?
All of them. Canyon Creek, Red's, Loose Moose.
Scatterbush.
So that's what I'm going to do.
So when you did this last year, you did the 15 off the top, can you hold the audience pretty good in a situation like that? Because people are all working and they're gabbing and...
No. Yeah. They're sitting down
in
a banquet hall, 300 people, and they're excited to be there. They're paying attention because the guy that introduces me is their boss.
Right.
It's funny because I was talking about this with Barker last year when I didn't know these people. I was nervous before because you're thinking, okay, can I swear? What subjects can you use? Not that I swear a lot in my act. And then they kept assuring me, oh, don't worry, because Paul, our president, who's been on the show, you won't believe what he's going to say in the intro. So I'm like, yeah, but you know, corporate. Mm. So he gets up there and he welcomes everyone. And he's like, fuck this, fucking fuck. And I'm like, well, I'm going to be fine.
Yeah.
Here's a fucking guy from the radio, you know, this type of thing. So. Anyway.
Oh, that's interesting. Because that tells you something about the culture of the business.
Yeah.
Because that might happen in another business and that guy would get in trouble the next day.
Most other businesses.
Well, in the banking world, I've done stuff for them and other corporations. Even, you know, I'll tell you what, I did the Chamber Plan, another one of our sponsors. I did their event in the spring and they're a pretty good bunch, but they're not that loose. They're a lot, everyone's in suits and ties and the president... you know, Brett Tanner, it's a bit more of a button-down vibe, but it was still fun. I just didn't, you know, do all the fuck material.
They're on the end of that extreme, I would say. Like, even Pizza, we were a little less button-down, but you wouldn't be able to get up there and drop F-bombs.
Yeah. No, Mike, I enjoyed my time. I thought your listener experience was great.
Did you hear any of the band?
I did hear the band. They were a good band.
They covered, you know, hip and 90s jams and stuff. And
yeah, really good.
Really good. The second, they played the first one, too. And
what was the name of them?
The Royal Pains.
Yeah, they're good, Freddie.
Did you pay them?
We worked out a deal, and I did not give them any cash, no.
Oh.
They've pitched to us, I think.
What kind of favors did you give them, Mike?
I'm on the podcast, I mentioned that people should hire this band.
Oh.
I didn't have a budget for this event. There's no cover or anything. I didn't make a penny on it. But, they were fantastic. And
Where was this thing?
Great Lakes Brewery,
like
which you can walk to
in
2 minutes. Yeah.
That's where we had our 50th. It's a nice space.
No. Yeah. Independently owned. Really cool place.
There's another brewery that just opened.
Oh, they have, like, events? Like, indoor
events?
Event
patio,
space. Yeah.
They got a big room in the inside, and now they just put up a new patio.
Mike, what's that place over there on Evans?
Cool.
That just opened up another.
Oh no, it's
place.
Been it's there a while. Cool.
Cool. Beer.
No, not Cool Beer. There's another one now.
I don't know.
I just drove by.
Is that Cool Beer? They used to be in Brampton.
Yeah.
They do the Bucka Beer thing.
Well, listen. Let's not forget our beer company, Spearhead Brewing Company. That's our beer.
They're phenomenal.
And they just re-signed for 4 months. This is up till December. Very excited about that. The Spearhead family. In fact, next week, When is the Sam Roberts thing? Did I tell you? Sam Roberts band. Sam Roberts is going to be on the show with us.
Big time Canadian rock star.
The Sam Roberts band ale.
Yeah.
Is delicious. And so is the Hawaiian pale ale, both from Spearhead. But he's going to call in, isn't he?
Yeah, he's going to call in.
Do you think he'd play a tune over this phone?
I hope so. I know, Barker, I'm just trying to get you the...
that might be
the
a
date.
Bit.
Yeah.
That might be a bit of a bit.
Email it to me.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get him to sing a bit of a song or over the phone.
Yeah. I don't see why not.
Because other than that, what are we going to talk about?
Hey, Sam, what's going on?
Hey, Sam Sammy.
Is good. Sam is good for the 18th. That would be tomorrow.
Oh.
Freddie, you know what
That's
he could have sang
for
you?
Because my guest just bailed for tomorrow, so that is great news.
Who?
Tara Shannon.
Who's that?
She kept changing her date and changing her date, and then she wanted Thursday, and I already have a musical thing on Thursday, so I was like, sorry, I can't help you, and tried really hard to help you.
Freddie, 3 years ago, Sam Roberts could have come in and performed Don't Walk Away, Eileen.
Right. I know.
Yeah.
Well, we're only a podcast right now.
With none.
He still can.
I'm sure we would have had
it's
to
a great tune.
Coerce him. To do such things.
So that's tomorrow. I just realized tomorrow we're doing a call. I was going to make sure we have a number and stuff.
Well, that'll be our first day on 820. Yeah.
Maybe.
Having Sam Roberts, that can't hurt. People know who he is.
Yeah. Yeah. Spearhead, one of the Humble and Fred sponsor family, along with our good friends at PayTM. I got two alerts last week, Phil. I'm going to tell you one of my favorite things about the app. One of my favorite things about the app is that I never have to worry about, did I get the alert on my computing machine? I just get it on my phone. Tells you when to pay it. Oh, yeah.
It's inside, inside baseball.
All right. Okay. I see what you're saying. Like, there's been no thing. Anyway, but they're good folks, and you should try out their stuff.
Yep.
It's a whole different podcast today because we're literally... We're only going to do 34 more minutes, no breaks.
Here, I'll get out of here. I know you got a lot to talk about. I came to announce, declare something for you, and I will do it now, even though Hamilton's not listening right now, but that's okay. It's our last chance to swear, by the way, is today. Mm-hmm. One more bonus swear day.
Cock and balls.
Because I heard you go the fuckity-fuck-fuck, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I can do that. So you guys are making big declarations. I hear Humble say Canada's most downloaded podcast.
Most downloaded podcast.
No. What, yeah. Say it very slowly.
No.
Hold on.
No. Yeah, you got to watch the wording here.
Let me hear it.
The most downloaded podcast in Canadian podcasting history.
That's what I heard.
Based on...
Oh, I didn't hear this part.
This is a small print.
No, but shouldn't you say the most downloaded Canadian podcast in history?
No, because even that...
Still nonsense. I'm here to tell you what you are, which is exciting. I think this is exciting.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I did the research. I crunched the numbers. I did interviews. I'm all over Canadians' podcast
universe.
I'm
recording this, and I'm going to play it back.
Okay. This is what you are. I believe this to be true. As you said, I'm blunt. As when Fred was shitting on my event because of the terrible comics, he was...
I didn't say they were terrible. I just said it didn't transfer well.
I see.
Because... No.
See, he can say things.
Yes.
And then you say something.
I love this. You guys were supposed to come over... You know, now we'll have to do another day, but you're still coming back on Toronto Mike so we can have some real talk and get the bottom
of it. Of course, real talk.
Because this isn't real talk.
Well, this one is now.
No, this is unreal.
But this is real. This is a good thing. I'm about to declare
what
about the Humble and Friendly podcast.
Do you not think we normally
I listen
have
you guys.
Real talk?
Hey, let's hear what he has to say.
I believe... you have a drum roll? I believe...
I used to, but I, my okay, fucking thing screwed up.
That the Humble and Fred Radio podcast, I believe that you are the most uploaded podcast in Canada. I believe this to be true. I believe...
What's the difference
even
between
I heard Phil,
and download?
Big difference. I just heard in the background, Phil went, yeah, I think he is now crunching numbers in his head and realizing Mike is right. You're the most uploaded podcast in Canada, which means there's no podcast in this country that I know of, and I've done a lot of homework, that has more episodes than the Humble and Fred Show.
This is
so,
what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Whether it be Phil, I don't know who does the upload. I think it's you, Howard. You do the upload. So Howard has probably pressed upload on the FileZilla there. Thousands of times, right?
What do you think? 1,700 to at least. We got to get. We're getting close to 2,000.
Right. I'm at 376, and Howard laughs when I say 376. That's a good year for him. He tells. So you're at thousands. No podcast has as many episodes as Humble Fred. So you are the most uploaded podcast in Canadian podcast history.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you. Thank you, Michael.
By the way,
yeah, but
thank you.
I believe that to be true.
I believe you to
but
be
that true. Doesn't say much.
But that's all Howard means to say when he incorrectly says the other thing.
But I'm here's the, no what Howard's right here, by the way. What I mean, I'm being
anybody can upload as much as they want. It's
yeah, but no one
downloading.
But only you have done it.
No, but here's the thing. I say we're the most downloaded podcast in Canadian history based on number of episodes.
Yeah,
yeah, and that's there's Canadian podcasts like the CBC ones. Even if they only did 20, they had way more downloads than us. All I'm saying is, it's fun to say. I welcome all challenges. The most downloaded podcast in Canadian history is still on the air, and that's what matters.
And he says, yeah, challenge. I did an interview with Broadcast Dialogue there on the weekend and made that declaration, and she wouldn't print that. She's, you
well,
know,
no,
I would really
she won't
have,
because
well, I know.
She's a verifier.
I need to have proof of that. And I said, oh, okay.
Great article, by the way. That was a great article.
No, it wasn't.
You guys look nice. And
well, those are some weird old pictures of us.
Weird, but it was pretty.
That picture of me isn't even in the same. They got that. That's a photo session I did at Boom, and it's a weird picture of Fred. But it was a good article.
But there was something really polished and fun about it.
Did you put it on our Facebook page?
Yeah. It's
he
on
sure
everybody's
did.
Facebook
okay.
page.
Well, listen. Let's not leave with hurt feelings.
No, there's no hurt feelings.
Fred doesn't have
this
anything.
Is excellent news. You're the most up. A pocket, and that's a major claim.
Just because Fred
it's a big country.
Didn't like
Fred
your
doesn't
comedians,
like the
and
well, couldn't I do a 10 second podcast every day and hit the thing and upload?
Sure, if you
could,
if it's that important to
don't.
Take the title from
people
Humble
don't.
And Fred. But here's the thing, Fred. That reaction you get from MLSE when you make that claim, right? What that reaction? That's the reaction you're going to get from anyone who knows
know,
what's going
know,
on. So the more you say it. Unless you're winking when you say it, it sounds.
Well, he
like
says, "As judged
stupid.
By us." That's the part you missed.
All I would say is. We worked in the radio business for 40 years. Whenever ratings come out, they all make wild claims based on the thinnest of
demos,
data.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And as Fred says, and I think of this every day, bullshit baffles brains. That's
it?
What Fred says. And
yes.
I say, you know what? Yeah, what the fuck? I am now the most downloaded podcast in Canadian history.
Yeah.
Fuck it, you're right.
There you go.
I mean, Trump says shit like that and I got him elected. He says all sorts of shit.
And by the way, that's the spirit I said it
in.
And that's the one thing that bothered me about that. When I was talking to this woman at Broadcast Dialogue, I thought, oh, geez, now I'm starting to sound like Donald Trump. throwing at these numbers without any verification.
I just want to say, in the spirit of the Humble and Fred Show, that's how I started saying it. Because I just did the math of the number of episodes, downloads. Of course, it's nonsense, but it's Humble and Fred nonsense. Kind of like the fact we were going to be on a new radio station this morning, and now we're not.
Psych.
All right, Mike.
All right, peace and love to all of you.
Bye,
you know it.
Mike.
Can't wait till you come over. Let me know what day you want to come over.
Well, why don't we just reschedule now for next Monday?
Hey, when you make return visits, do you still get a sampler of Great Lakes?
Yep, I had yours on the. Yours is ready for you now. I thought you were coming today.
Oh.
Could you maybe get some pickles for me? Because I like pickles.
I don't have a pickle sponsor.
Okay, so
yet.
Yeah, next Mikey, next Monday's fine for
okay.
me. Is it fine
so,
for you?
Fred, that's okay? So come over.
Yeah.
After your show, come over.
Yeah, can we do that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, because your thing isn't until next week, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm. That thing, by the way, which I listen to your shows, you allude to it all the time but won't tell us what it is. We're all worried. We're all praying for you.
No, we were going to talk about it on the first 820 show.
Oh.
I brought my...
Are you going to live? I just want to know if you're going to live.
Oh, no, he's going to be fine.
Oh.
Yeah. Don't do it yet.
Oh,
we'll
no,
do
no,
it
no,
tomorrow.
I'm not. Yeah.
We'll save it for
teasing.
The first one.
Oh, no,
just know this. Fred's got something. It ain't nothing. And I will feature him on my Stars United for Gout telecast. We'll be there. There'll be a special section for you and your thing. Okay?
So I would have bet the farm on Humble dies first, not Fred. I would have bet the farm on that.
Okay, Mike. Stab her.
Not in the fire, though. Not in the fire.
Is this you being blunt again?
What did you say?
One of you will die first, unless you die together in some
right.
suicide pact.
Yeah. In a fire.
I would have bet it on Howard dying first.
Really?
Yeah.
This
wow.
has been
chasing someone
you,
down the QED.
Well, you got better genes. We know your parents lived along. I, you have better genes, and I get a sense, just a feeling. I hope not. I hope you both die
listen,
together in the same fire.
I feel bad for you, buddy, but it's music to my ears.
Yeah. Why? Well, you know what, Mike? I hope you live forever. Fuck out of here.
You know. That's
unbelievable.
How much that bugs me? You can
no,
die.
Get, I want to get
could,
back to his.
No, you could die in a fire. That bugs me.
Okay.
Yeah, because if he did.
But you know what I think is funny? You know, it just, you literally said, oh, the comedy didn't work all that well. And Boone, fiercely, you see how offended he gets?
He wouldn't hesitate to say the same thing.
All the time.
Hey, guys, didn't transfer well. Try again.
I was going to die first in a fire with Mike Stafford. Get out of here.
Stafford, I'm not Stafford.
I was going to give you my nectarine.
Nope.
Not now, buddy.
We'll talk. We'll kiss each of your heads on the way out.
I fucking love you, Boone. Boone.
Thank you.
Yeah, you can kiss my head. I consent to you kissing my head.
It'd probably be death from two eyes.
I wash my hair.
Hashtag me Jew.
I have to wash my hair after the cottage, so I don't
I'm part of the me Jew movement.
Hell. Yeah, I'll be there.
You can say it. We can't.
You better be there. Monday, I'll hug.
Can I kiss you?
Tongues. Again with tongues.
Hey, come on.
What?
If that was two women and I was going, tongues, you'd be like, Howard.
No.
Howard.
That's something we should ask about.
Yeah.
What's that?
It's sort of serious, but Barker's here and she likes to talk about this guy, Kavanaugh. What's his name?
Sean.
The guy running for the Supreme Court judge?
Isn't it Sean Kavanaugh?
Okay.
I don't know.
So they've just released it. Did you hear this story?
No, sir.
I'm not up on it.
When he was in high school, like 16, it's alleged, this woman says that they were in a bedroom and he was drunk and he came onto her and tried to kiss her and then tried to take her clothes off and put his hand over her mouth. And it's just crazy because it happened like in 1982. He's 16. Mm-hmm. It's hearsay, drunken high school party. Mm. And now he could lose the nomination over or the designation or the appointment over.
But that's not why he's going to lose it, right?
Well, it could, ultimately.
I mean, he's got other bigger things, right? I don't know. You know, to be very honest, I'm not up on the Kavanaugh thing. I'm having a hard time navigating it.
No, I know.
In the news.
It's just so torn because it's like, yeah, if he did that, of course somebody should be called on it.
Sure.
But again, you just before they're about to vote the guy in, all of a sudden it comes out of nowhere and it's 16 years old and it's like, oh my goodness.
Never mind. You want to talk about the Gomeshi bomb that happened over the weekend?
I read it.
Talk about it. Did you read the whole thing?
I read the whole
thing. You got time.
He's the victim.
That's a lot.
My brother sent it. Did you read the whole thing?
Oh, yeah.
It is long.
Do we want to talk about it?
I don't know if you want to get into it. Yeah. I don't know.
Because
is it funny, 820? We can make it funny.
I don't know.
I will say this much. As in terms of people saying being taken down by Me Too, he happened a full year prior to Meal. Like,
yes.
You know, so it's a little bit, our timelines are all getting a little skewed here, folks.
Although he did say something amusing about that. I forget what the line was.
Yeah.
Like, now, you know, a lot of guys hated, but I was the first to be hated or something along those lines.
Wow, you poor bebe.
He became the victim.
Yeah, in that. He negates the fact that he wrote a letter and admitted to wrongdoing at work. Like, I love how people are like, oh, he got off. He wrote a letter.
He took responsibility for
Kathryn Burrell. So you can't say he, anyway.
I would just say read it.
Yeah.
Digest it.
Mostly.
Read the whole thing.
I read the first two paragraphs. Skim.
So what you're saying is that there's no... for the rest of his life, he can never speak or write or say anything, and that will be enough?
What I'm saying is he needs to own his shit because everyone else is going to own it for him.
Oh, I agree with Howard. I think he owns it. The thing is, nobody's saying he can't do that. It's just he's just got to hope some people receive it. That's all,
or accept it. Well, yeah. He got hired to write that, so
I'm certainly not rushing out to sign him to my Living with Gout fundraiser. I get it. Gout-a-thon.
People will come. Might be a good idea.
Here's the problem with Jean Gomeshi too, is that type of Canadian celebrity doesn't have the longevity and the stickiness that, say, an American would.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's old news already. Like, he just is. But if that had been, like, Howard Stern or something, not to compare them, but he was big in Canada on the radio.
Yeah.
He's long forgotten before an American equivalent would be.
Yeah, we were talking about it. Marco was saying, he was like, you know, I feel like you should write a book called The Monster That I Was or something like that. Like, you kind of, because every interview he ever does, everything he ever does is going to have to address this.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know that it gets passed.
The reason I'd ask you to read it is because I thought my impression was that he did whether you find it that he copped enough or took enough blame. But what I found interesting is reading about what life has been like in this weird, dark fucking bubble that he's lived in. And he sort of, I thought, he's a very well-written, it's well-written in that he explains, I thought, well, what the what life is like when you're a pariah.
Yeah.
What life on the outside of everything is, and how your friends all go away and everything goes away. And, you know, because I was, we both have wondered, what do you do day to day?
Well, he went to the States, it looks like.
Well, yeah.
And it sounds like he's under a crush of legal bills and debt.
And he doesn't, you know, he said something about, yeah, that he didn't have the money that people might think he did, but his family was fairly well off.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just found that part interesting.
Totally.
If you can separate.
Yeah.
Now, again, I don't have all the details and I don't remember all the things. We know he, you know, all bad things, yes. But it's interesting to, it would be like, reading what life was like for OJ after,
totally.
You know, he killed two people.
Well, it's, you know, interest the moment where he's, and he's in New York at this moment, which I thought was interesting, where the woman says, she says, oh, you know who ruined that name for you? And then looks up and realizes that's
him.
Him.
Yeah.
And that was in New York. And then, but of course, because he's him, goes on to say, and then we ended up becoming friends and we sang karaoke together because I'm so charming.
Well,
you know,
but
which is true, I guess.
But again, if you don't, so you again, you take everything because you don't, because we think he's evil. That was just an actual experience. Somebody recognized. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I just say people read it.
Well, I think it's not fair that a professional vocalist like Jean Gomeshi should be able to take part in a karaoke.
There
especially if there's prizes involved.
I think that...
he ripped people off.
I think Amanda Barker wants him and me to die in a fire.
Because I'll tell you still, and I have it, and I'm not big on Gomeshi, never have been. Even before that, never liked the guy. But I'll tell you, that song Stuck in the 90s is still always on my playlist. He performed well. Like, he was a good singer. Yeah. And songwriter. A few of the songs he wrote. Yeah. No doubt about it, man.
Do you think he could change his name?
No. But if you think about, you know, his life, you know, as a, you know, he had a whole life. Mm-hmm. He wasn't always, you know, anyway, I don't want to talk about it. I really don't want to talk about it.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
No, I'm not really, because
I thought you wanted to talk about it.
I didn't really.
And the bottom line with him is he's free to do whatever he wants. It's just how is it going to be received? That's his problem.
Sure.
And in this new world we live in, with social media and people prejudging and stuff, he's done.
Somebody, I read this last week, and I don't know why it made me smile. Someone said something about the origins of toast. How did that happen? That someone told, it's like someone had bread once, and it took a bite and went, "This is pretty good. But cook it some more." Just, cook it again. I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
You know what? The nicest thing, if we can talk about nice things, knowing, you know, fires and Gomeshi. Sport is such a, you know, I may not be the hockey fan that Mike and Fred are, but I love sports. I've made that clear. I love things. Any sport has the opportunity to be just a great slice of life. So, Josh Donaldson gets traded to Detroit?
No, Cleveland.
And there's a moment on the internet. Did you see it? Did you
I
see
don't know.
It,
you'd have to tell me first. What?
I'm dying.
I saw lots of stuff on the internet with him.
So it's an old-fashioned thing where a kid is at... They're warming up, and there's a kid right against the edge of the stands, and he wants Josh's autograph.
Right.
So Donaldson walks over, and I think autographs the ball for him. That's how it starts. And then he sort of looks at the kid, and the kid's got a glove. Kid's what, 10, 11, 12?
Yeah.
Kid's got a glove. And Donaldson's not even in his uniform yet. He's just got his T-shirt on and his baseball pants. Picks the kid up, brings him onto the field in the warm-up area, goes and gets another ball, and then plays catch with this fucking kid.
Aww.
And I'm going to tell you, I watched it over and over, and I got, you know, it's such a great... Okay, Mikey. It's a great baseball thing. It's a great sports thing. And it's the kind of thing where you go, you know what? I don't know much about Josh Donaldson, but now I know everything I need to know about him. And it was just one of those moments that sports can do. And you know what? That kid, first of all, that video, because of the, you know, our social, he'll have that for the rest of his life. You know, won't be like, "Grandpa, tell me about the time you met Josh Donaldson." Like, it was, it's really a sweet moment. I love that.
I didn't
that
see
stuff
it. I'll have to have a look.
You'd love it.
Yeah. Well, that's why he was loved in Toronto. He was a good guy. Mm-hmm. You know, and he goes from being the sort of the face of the franchise and current to old news just like that overnight.
Yeah.
Then he goes plays with a contender, right? And he'll probably make it. He'll probably be significant in the playoffs.
And it's cool, H. On that, Barky. Are you done?
No, oh, I can't. Yeah.
No,
I
no.
Just, I thought somebody else would
want. No, no, love, love, love.
Hello, love.
Hello, love.
Hello.
What I also like about it is you hear the voices on the, you hear the audio of these guys, and they're all going, "Oh, right on, Josh. You know, welcome to Cleveland or whatever." They're all like, "Good man, Josh." Like you could just see.
Mm-hmm.
Now. Of course, a cynic might say, oh, that was calculated. You know, it's his new team. He wants to get on their good side. But you know what? You don't have to do what he did.
Yeah, but what's wrong with that anyway? Anybody that goes to a new place of employment, a new place, new friends, you always want to leave a good impression.
Oh, absolutely.
So
yes.
What if he did it for that reason? There's nothing wrong with that. At least he did it. A lot of players wouldn't even think about it.
No.
Wouldn't even cross their mind. You look at the Raptors got that new player, Kawhi Leonard. Still hasn't even been to
Kahi or Kahi?
He's still like he hasn't spoken with anybody yet, you know. And apparently, when he gets here, he won't either. He's that type of guy. Like he won't do something like that.
But like I said, I love sports for those reasons. I love those moments where, you know, it's like you. And then one of the things that struck me too is when I was a kid, you look up to baseball players and football players and hockey players. When you're a kid, you think they're so old, but there was this 11-year-old. Talking to Josh Donaldson, who's got to be, I don't know, late 20s, early 30s. He's just a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just makes you, I don't know, it just made me feel good. And I watched it a half dozen times because it was like, aw, so good.
Yeah.
So good. Steve Glassman just texted, sorry about your technical difficulties. It wouldn't be Humble and Fred if there weren't any. Yeah, we get it.
By the way, did I hear, is there another box they can bring?
Yeah, that's what's coming.
Oh, right. But I thought they said they didn't have another one.
He's going to borrow one.
Would we invest in one? How big is that box? Is that a very big box down there?
Well, it's a very big box down there.
Let me see how big your box is.
That's a lot of boxes.
Show me your box.
Big box.
Show me your goddamn box. Is it big? Is it small? Can it fit?
You put some lights on that box, did you?
Three red.
Right now I got one red. By the way, I'm getting one red, two flashing, or off and on red.
Oh, it means it's not configured. It means they have to come here and fix it.
We're ready to do the last 10 minutes.
You know, our good friend, the Sherpa, he's a good man. Check out his stuff, Retirement Sherpa. Again, this is not the regular, so we're not doing all the...
This feels like a podcast extra, but extended.
It's an thank you.
Yeah.
God damn.
What?
God damn,
that's
you're
how
good.
Package it.
Yes, a podcast extra, and of course, thanks to our friends at GigSky. By the way, I had a conversation with the president of GigSky last week. He called me from California, Ravi Maharishi.
Mm-hmm.
Ravi?
Rishi Maharaj.
Rishi Maharaj.
Yes. What was that for a name?
Rudra Rishi Maharaj, Ravi Rishi Maharaj. Calls me from California, excited. And he's going to be on this week as well. Because Apple releases a new phone, and on stage and behind the guy speaking from Apple, who's the Apple guy, Phil?
Who's
new president, doesn't matter.
Yeah, that guy.
And there's a list of all the people involved in the new phone, and there's GigSky.
Amazing.
And Ravi was beside himself. Mm-hmm. I think. So he called me. He's like, Howard, did you see us?
That's
dude, that's amazing.
With Tim Cook.
And, that's what it means is it's basically with all these new Apple phones, they will have they'll be your regular SIM for your crappy phone provider, and there'll be the GigSky SIM built in.
Yes.
So that you will have an option wherever you travel to take their texting and talking and take the data plan from GigSky.
That's amazing. Yeah.
And iPads already have this option, by the way.
On the Apple.
When can one get this phone?
Oh, I don't know.
I want to get this phone.
Did you see the price of some of those new phones? Oh, like $1,000, $1,200, $1,400 each?
Yeah.
Wow.
Don't but it's got lose, all the stuff.
Don't want to crack that one on the bathroom tile.
No.
Well, how much is the new phone now? They're all $1,000. They're all $800. They're all $900.
Well, the premium ones, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and people will line up to get them.
Nope.
But and now they'll be able to use them anywhere in the world.
So, I don't know what it means for GigSky. Obviously, it's great for them. And I said to Ravi, so can I come down and golf on the GigSky jet?
Yeah, right.
Anyway,
but that would
so
be
good
like,
for our friends.
It's like a smart television, you know, when you go on and then you have the eye, like...
So great.
We're all on the app page when you're right there.
Yeah. You don't need the box anymore. You don't
people
need
don't have to search it.
I just got one and it was amazing. It was like, what? This is TV now? Mm-hmm. This is amazing.
No, isn't it wild?
I know.
Like, I scroll along and I'm like, I got Crave TV. I got...
This is amazing. Because we have boxes, but those are challenging.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a box over here, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of boxes.
We got a lot of boxes.
I got a lot of boxes.
It's refusing our connection.
Got a lot of box today.
So congratulations to our good friends at Gig Sky. This podcast extra is also brought to you by...
FYI Music News, where you can read about Aretha Franklin. Nice article about the passing of... What did they call her? The Queen of Soul? Queen of Soul.
Speaking of big time old rock stars, McCartney's new recording, Egypt Station, you say, is that we were kind of listening to this. Like, we started listening to this morning before everything went to hell in a handbasket. And it was pretty good.
I'll be honest, too. When I first I listened to the interview on Stern, and I had heard that one song. Because remember a couple of weeks ago, I said he just keeps repeating himself, that one song. Anyway,
I want to F you.
No, the other one. I forget. The one that was the first one released as a single. Mm. So I was a little skeptical because, you know, Paul hasn't produced a lot of stuff. Right. But anyway, my buddy Darren said, you got to sit down and listen to this album from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday, driving home from up north, I listened to it, and it is. It's a... Like, it's great for who he is and his age.
He's 76 years old. He's still a great songwriter. Like...
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Is this the one where he says, I want to F you?
Oh, no, that's the other one.
No.
So this is the first one.
This is the one. This is the one that, remember, on Carpool Karaoke he did?
Oh, yeah.
And he repeats
this
himself.
Is Fuyu. Yeah. Actually, there's a song called Fuyu.
I know. I know. Remember?
I want to
I want to suck your dick. That was your joke.
Is that my joke?
That was your joke, and I'm still laughing over it.
I make jokes sometimes when I'm not, you know.
I repeated it. I quoted you. Gave you credit for it at work. Other works.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah. I was like, in the words of the power, and I want to suck your dick. Still funny.
Well, I'm going to listen to it, too. And the one thing about McCartney, though, so I listened to the Stern interview on your recommend. Excellent. Also excellent for the reason you mentioned to me. No cackling Robin. And in fact, at one point, McCartney even says that. So, Robin, where have you been? Oh, I'm listening. I think she was told to shut up.
Oh.
To be honest with you.
Interesting.
Did you not feel that?
I guess. I don't know.
She didn't say a word for 65 minutes. Mm-hmm.
But maybe she's not a Beatle fan.
Oh, hee-hoo-ha!
She's been told to pull back.
Oh, yeah. So, and then the story of McCartney and Lennon. We talked about this on the show last week about McCartney and Lennon sitting around jerking off and stuff. Right. And I was like, well, how come... Where's that? How come that's out now?
And then there was a follow-up article where he... Because some people are calling him on a few things. Like, well, John's not here to verify. You know what I mean? And you're being pretty liberal with your detail. And he just said, hey, it happened. Those are the stories. Believe them or don't.
And, mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the deal. And which is true.
Mm-hmm. What about Ringo? He can't verify.
Ringo
this?
Was not invited to the jerk.
No, the circle jerk.
They were like, we're having some fellas over there. For some masturbation.
Ringo can't bring his cock ring.
No, Ringo.
No,
because you always come too soon. You fuck it up for everyone.
He also said they weren't into orgies either. They really didn't have orgies.
I believe that.
Oh, no, yeah.
They're just, super Brit, you know.
Why? Brits don't have orgies?
I feel like, I mean, maybe there was a moment in 1971, but...
Speaking of Brits, I watched this documentary on Jane Goodall.
Oh, yeah.
The chimpanzee lady.
Speaking of orgies,
I'm telling you, those chimpanzees.
They'll rip your face off.
Yeah. Well, not in this documentary.
Oh, okay.
They will. Mm-hmm. But so she's out there, and it was very, she was famous because she was a young woman, like 26 years old, and she was sort of got this job, always wanted to live in Africa, in Gombe. But then they show that she gets comfortable with the chimpanzees, and they start fucking in front of her. And so there's this one...
They don't care.
Yeah. So there's this one scene where the chimpanzee lady, her name is Fifi or some shit. No, she's Flo, and her daughter is Fifi. Anyway, so she comes out, and she says, well, and then there was the time that Flo was in heat, and you can see her red ass is just fucking all swollen and shit. And all of a sudden, like every male ape or every male chimpanzee, and they're quite big, all of them just start getting on behind her, and then they hump. And the idea is in the clan or wherever they are, everyone fucks her. But meantime, they're fucking her eating bananas at the same time. And fucking here, and then the little her daughter, who's probably like a 2-year-old chimpanzee, tries to get on her back to get the banana from the guy fucking her mom. It's a whole different world, Fred.
Oh yeah. Well, they're apes. Right. Did Jane ever partake?
I don't know.
She's British. In ape? No. Banana orgy.
That's what Rachel and I started laughing. I go, I have to pause it. I go, this is outrageous. The guy's eating a banana. He's fucking the mom. The baby the little daughter climbs up on her mom's back while she's getting up, but she doesn't care about that. She just wants the banana. Fuck. So good.
I find this weird. I don't know. It's all putting me in a weird place right now.
Why?
I don't know.
Well, because we evolved from them?
I guess. Mm. Maybe. Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe we should de-evolve a bit and just all screw in the street.
Yeah.
Let's do McCartney.
I got my red hump on today.
But butt's red, swollen.
A million years ago, if you came in here with your red ass monkey butt.
Hey guys, it's red today.
And then Stan would jump on your back while I'm trying to get some bananas.
Bananas. That nectarine that you're eating right now.
Well, he gave me a tip. He said if you have he has his apple, mm-hmm. It cuts some of the phlegm.
Oh definitely. Yeah. It really helps your diction.
But I wasn't.
You start with dairy and that phlegm shop.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't do it if it wasn't a podcast extra. I'm more professional than that. Anyway, I thought you'd find that interesting.
Why, I'm not professional when I have my apple?
No, you are. You don't do it on the show.
I'm going to.
Okay, see ya.
I'm going to. Yeah, bye.
Bye.
You know, you talk about stuff in the background. I saw, and I, you know, it might be fake news. The hurricane in North Carolina, South Carolina. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They had this, I think it was a local TV reporter, mm-hmm. standing there in the wind. And it
right,
was blowing.
I saw that.
And he was moving.
Yeah.
And then those people walked by him wearing shorts on their phones, like in behind them. So he was obviously putting it on.
Yes.
He's rocking back and forth like the wind's pushing him and these guys walk.
It's like just another day in paradise.
Do you think that's real? Or do you think, guys?
You know, I got to be honest. I only saw it. I just saw it in passing. I went, well, that seems weird. Sean.
Because I'm thinking, did guys just stage that?
But mm-hmm.
I guess you could
really?
you could verify it by the TV outlet. Does it exist?
Maybe.
Yeah, it was somebody actually recorded that.
But
it was
on funny.
The weather channel.
Huh? Mm-hmm. It was a weather channel. Mm. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. So there you go. Fake news. That was fake news.
So it was just a bit? They were doing it as a bit?
Oh. Or it was actually
weather
the
channel.
The reporter on the weather channel was trying to make it look like, holy geez,
so
look
they
these winds.
They created fake news. Fuckers. There you go.
Well, they tried to defend the allegations. They were saying, you know, he's been standing there since 1 in the morning. So
oh, that makes
you
rock back and forth?
Yeah. Apparently, yeah. All right. Now the forecast, though.
You know, you got to feel bad for those people who live in those areas because basically at the end of every summer, you have to sort of prepare yourself for some crazy shit to happen.
But the coverage is way over the top. It just is. All weekend long. I tune in. You know, the whole thing is, at one point, the Anderson Cooper standing like chest high in water. Well, why?
To prove what?
I know. Why?
Stay in your studio.
Well, stay in your studio and yes. Just have a fixed camera on it.
And there was, what I saw actually, I think yesterday, was there's a video of what they can actually show in virtual reality on TV. Yeah. And there was a reporter standing in the studio, but that was better than somebody just standing in the middle of the water. It showed the levels of all the water, and they do that.
They spend the week preceding telling everyone to evacuate and get out of there. It's dangerous. And then the first thing they do is go in there and put it on TV. And yeah, it's something else.
What is it? Why do we need... What is the point... Well, I want to have somebody out there to show us how windy and rainy it is. We get it. It's windy and rainy.
It's windy and rainy, yeah. We know what wind is. We know what rain is. Mm-hmm. It's dangerous. That's what I'm saying. They could have a fixed camera somewhere.
Sure.
But this thing, and all the big ones go. Like Anderson Cooper usually works, 8 till 9 at night?
Yes.
But if there's something like a storm, he's there all day. He's the guy.
Storm.
But it's mainly for illustration, isn't it? Like you can say Anderson Cooper's out there doing something. And it's like, oh, I should watch CNN all of a sudden. Like, there's a reason why.
This just in, talk about having bad luck. Started listening at 7:30 and nothing. I look forward to Tuesday. Chin up, boys. Shit happens.
Who was that?
Les Kellerman.
Thank you, Les.
Thank you, Les. Appreciate. Yeah, we had a couple weird things happen today, including I lost an entire page of sound items that has been with us since the beginning. Never seen that before.
It's the ultimate in technical difficulties.
Yeah.
Yep, it was one for the. It's one of those. Hey, remember that? How we remember the, that 8:20?
Every time we tried to go on 8:20
and that first morning,
and
you know we come sliding in, and we're all, and you know
all the paperwork's been signed, everything's ready to go, but that box.
I was so excited, I didn't even take my regular poo today.
Did we ever have a morning that we missed on Sirius?
No,
because of the box.
We've had to start late.
We started late.
Yeah.
But
it wasn't an hour. It wasn't an entire day.
Nope. Did you hear what I said, though? I was too excited. Well, first of all, Rachel is upstairs, so I can't go, you know, regular. I have to usually go rogue, which is on the second floor. Or sometimes I'll go in Phil's area, which he, by the way, he can mess. That man, that Phil can mess a bowl.
So you had an excitement, though?
I didn't. I have the opposite. I got too excited. Slam back up.
Really? See, I always get...
Yeah. I know you get the opposite. You get loose bowels.
Yeah, and I know. Not lately, though. I've been on a stool softener. But that's a whole other story.
Oh, no. I called your home on Friday to see how you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
As your, personal physician. And then I talked to your wife. And she said, oh, no, Freddie's out getting stool softener. I go, oh, romantic. I go, lucky you, doll. You're a lucky girl.
It's a big night.
I know.
Freddie's getting a stool softener.
Romantic.
Like, oh, sweet. I said, is it an anniversary gift?
Bottle of wine and some stool softener?
Hey,
I sent you some other things to print, too, there, Phil. Fuck.
Yep.
First of all, this coffee has gone bad. I don't know what you did to it, but it's been quite a morning. All right, kids, so there's your little podcast. What did we learn? I don't know. Tomorrow... we'll try again.
Tomorrow's another day.
Yeah, tomorrow's another day.
Shit happens.
Basically. Do I have the Black Keys?
Sean, did you send it over?
Yes.
Oh, we got
all
this?
Sent over.
So I have this now.
You've got three songs.
Well, we're gonna have to see if we can't recreate that board. Phil, is it Phil?
Yes. What we're talking about is there's a computer board that Howard uses to play the music and stuff that you're hearing.
Well, every sound on the show comes from this thing. What's the big pause in it? Oh, I see.
Why'd you put the big pause? Why you not?
I don't know why that happened.
Well, because you didn't edit it.
Having computer difficulties as well today.
Oh, are you?
I am.
Are you having computer difficulties?
I'm part of the problem, I think.
Here's what I can do. I just, right now, I can just fix that for you. Right there. Watch this, Sean.
Look at that.
I'm not doing the Black Keys because this has been a podcast extra.
Right.
This episode, do that thing. That was
sure. This episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Service Inspired Restaurants, PayTM, Spearhead Brewing Company, and our newest sponsor, Strain Print. Use cannabis better. We broadcast to the world from the center of Canada's universe, Toronto, nestled in the cozy bosom of the 5-hour energy performance zone. More Humble and Fred tomorrow, hopefully, and online at humbleandfredradio.com.
Destination, a little up the road from the habitations and the towns we know. A place we saw the lights turn low, the jigsaw jazz.